We're going to be reading in John's Gospel, chapter 5. But before we do that, I'd like to share something with you. Some of you know Darmi, our Filipino friend. He is a close friend of KC. They work in the same department. Now, KC has been witnessing to him and gave him a Bible. And we've been trying to encourage Darmi in the gospel and in the Lord. Darmi's wife is Ella, and their little son, three-year-old son, Danny. And while you folks were having your coffee this morning, Darmi and I were visiting in the back room.
They saw gone and then rolled away.
I've got some good news. Darmi received the Lord as his Savior. The Bible that KC gave him, he had it with him, and he wrote in the flyleaf of the Bible, September 17, 2006, the date that I was saved. Darmi told me that he wanted to be baptized. And he said that he wanted to identify with the Christians here at the Believers' Assembly and partake of the Lord's Supper. Jim? You've got a little task ahead of you. Will you get in touch with Darmi and encourage him in his Christian life? One of the first persons he's going to tell about his conversion is KC, when KC gets back from Canada and California. He's going to tell KC. And he said, I know KC is going to be happy. I know he is. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. We are rejoicing with you, KC. The Lord bless you. John's Gospel, chapter 5. Verse 24, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Where are you going to find a verse, any place in the world, that's more beautiful than that? I tell you why it is so beautiful to me. It's because the Lord used that verse to convince me in my conversion experience. It's real special to me. I would like to, with the help of the Lord, share with you this morning my conversion experience. Now, I know that some of you have heard parts of my conversion experience before, but some of you haven't. As for those of you that have never heard it, that I would like to share my personal conversion experience. I consider my testimony the best sermon that I will ever be able to preach. I'll never preach a better sermon than my testimony. One of the reasons is it's so special to me. Not only are my sins forgiven, but I have passed from death unto life. And there's no condemnation, there is no judgment coming. I want to share that with you. Well, I was born in Duluth, Minnesota. That was not my choice. It happened to be where Mom was at the time. I was born in Duluth into a very religious family. When I was 8 days old, my parents took me to the church and had me baptized. As I got older, I was sent to parochial school where I learned the Ten Commandments and all of the doctrines of the church. I was confirmed, became a member of that church, which was the denomination that all of my relatives belonged to. And I was very religious, and I tried to live a good life. Religious, but lost. I had no assurance of salvation. I had no peace with God because I did not have a personal salvation relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. My dad was a dairy farmer, and by the time I was a teenager, I was convinced that the farm was not for me. It was too early in the morning. It was too late at night. And it was too hard in between. I longed for the day when I would be able to get off the farm. Now, I am dating back to the 1930s, when World War II was starting, and some of you can't remember that far, but I do. And one day I got a love letter in the mail from Uncle Sam. It was my 1A draft classification. I tell you, I was thrilled. My mother cried, but I was thrilled. Here is my opportunity, and Uncle Sam is helping me to get off from the farm. I had a visit with the draft board, and they said to me, "You have farm experience. There are 14 farmers that are looking for laborers. If you are willing to work on one of those farms, we can give you a deferment." I said, "Thank you, but no thank you. When do I go?" And they told me. And I went. Back in those days, we had the opportunity to choose the branch of service. I always liked the water, and I liked boats. And so, of course, I chose the Navy. The boot training center for the Navy, one of them, at that time was in Farragut, Idaho. It's no longer functioning. It was a temporary setup during the war. And I remember the first day that I was in the barracks in Farragut, Idaho, kind of wondering if maybe the farm wasn't so bad after all. Listening to the conversation of those fellows, cursing, swearing, using the Lord's name in vain, filthy stories and filthy jokes, something that my religious parents would never permit, I wondered if maybe the farm wasn't so bad. But it was too late. I had a commitment with Uncle Sam. It was the duration of the war plus 6 months. Went from Farragut, Idaho to the East Coast, first Great Lakes for some training. And then on my way to the East Coast, a temporary stopover in Boston. By that time, I had volunteered for PT boats. And the PT boat training center was in Melville, Rhode Island. They sent me to Boston for a temporary stopover on my way to Melville. And while I was in the barracks there in Boston, I looked across the barracks and I saw a fella my age, 18 years old, sitting on the edge of his cot, reading a book. And from where I was sitting, it almost looked as though it could have been the Bible. But I knew that no one would have the courage to read the Bible in a filthy environment like that. But I was inquisitive. I walked down the aisle, and I looked through the corner of my eye. I didn't want him to see that I was noticing him. It was the Bible. And I walked to the end of the barracks, and I debated within my mind, I wonder if I should go back and get into a good religious argument with him. After all, I went to parochial school, I've been confirmed, I know the Ten Commandments, I know the Catechism from page one to the end, I've had some religious training. I could get into a good religious argument. So I decided, I went back, and it was only a few seconds, and we were in the midst of the religious argument. He said something to me that made me angry. He said that he was saved. That made me mad. I said, man, you cannot be sure of salvation until after you die. And he went on to tell me how he was born again, how he had, like Darmy, had received the Lord as his personal Savior. And I said to him, you know, we have been arguing for 45 minutes on the subject of salvation, and you have left out the most important part of salvation. He said, what is that? Well, I said, baptism. You haven't even mentioned baptism. And I said, you know that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. He took his Bible and he handed it to me. That was the second dumb thing I did. I took it into my hands. And he said, I'd like you to show me in the Bible where that verse is. Well, I did something that was very difficult for this 18-year-old PT sailor. I had to admit to him, I didn't know where to find the verse, but I said, I've got a minister back in the state of Minnesota. He knows where to find it. That's good enough for me. And I took his Bible, I flung it onto his bunk, I turned away in a huff, and I went back to my bunk. I prayed my first unmemorized prayer that night, because I couldn't find it in my prayer book. And the prayer was, Lord, this barracks isn't big enough for that fella and for me. Get one of us out of here quick. The Lord answered that prayer. The next day, I was on the train on my way to Melville, Rhode Island. I didn't say goodbye to that fella. In my mind, I said, good riddance. I hope I never meet anybody like you again. At When we were at Melville, Rhode Island, for training, for the PT boat training, on the weekend we had what the Navy calls Liberty, a Liberty Pass. I guess you guys called it furlough. We called it a Liberty Pass, a weekend pass. I went to cross the border into Massachusetts to an entertainment park. Seemed as though all of the sailors went there. There were literally thousands of sailors at that entertainment park. They had Ferris wheels and all of that stuff. And while I was at that park, I noticed a couple girls were handing out papers to the sailors. And when one of them came to me, she handed me the paper, and I took one look at it, and I could see that it was religious. We're in trouble. And as she handed me the paper, she asked me, are you saved? Well, I just got rid of somebody like that. I would like to have pulled my hair out of my head and hers too. And so I thought, I'm going to get even with you. Yes, I'm saved. Then I changed the subject. As soon as I finished my rambling, she said, well, you told me that you were saved. I'd like to know how you got saved. I was backed in a corner. How do you get out of something like that? I tell you what I did. I quoted almost verbatim the testimony of that guy that I got rid of in Boston. She thought it was a good testimony, and it was a good testimony. The only problem was, it was not my testimony. And she said to me, the following night, Sunday night, there's going to be a testimony meeting at the chapel where I meet. And she told me the address. And she said there are going to be three men sharing their testimony. I would like to invite you to come. I told her I will be there. I went. I heard the testimony of these three men. Each one of them had a conversion experience testimony. Each one of them had the assurance that their sins were forgiven, that they were going to be in heaven. And I remember I said within myself, if these people are correct, I'm on my way to hell. I've got religion, I've got good works, but I do not have peace with God. Well, from there we were sent to Treasure Island in California, famous place during the war. And we knew that when you were sent to Treasure Island, it would only be a matter of a week or so, you would be on a troop transport for the Pacific. And that's where I was going. First to New Guinea, the New Hebrides Islands, several other islands in the South Pacific, then to the Philippines where the real war was going on. We were running a convoy from Leyte Island to Mindanao. 3-day convoy. About 200 ships in the convoy, including the 36 PT boats from three squadrons, the mothership, tender, and 200 ships in all. Took us 3 days to make that trip. Every few minutes, there would be some Japanese planes dropping bombs on our convoy. I watched 12 of our ships sink to the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. Many of them were my buddies. We went to school together. And I would ask the question, if that would have been me, where would I be today? You know, my religion, my good works, my baptismal certificate, it didn't do me much good. I had no peace with God. Our squadron was docked along Samar Island, one of the southern islands in the Philippines. We had a base there. They announced over the PA system that there was going to be a, what they called, Protestant Bible study. I determined that I was going to go to that Bible study. There were only about 4 or 5 of us in the class. A young fellow my age, 18 or 19, was the Bible teacher, and he was teaching in the book of Ephesians, I remember, and apparently he felt that there was somebody in his audience that did not know the Lord as Savior. He preached the gospel very clearly. After the Bible study, they said, we have a time of devotion every morning after chow. Chow is breakfast, by the way. And he said, we'd like to invite you to join us. I said, I'll be there. Again, the same group, only four or five of us were there. One of them shared a devotion, which was also the gospel. Then we went to our knees and prayed. First one prayed, second one, a third one, and each one of them thanked the Lord for salvation and for assurance and for peace with God. I was the only one left. How could I pray? I knew the catechism. And I had a prayer book, but I left it back at the PT boat. How could I pray? The night before, they sang a chorus. The first time I had ever heard it. But it was a very meaningful chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full, so free. On my knees, in the back of that thatch roof chapel built by the Navy on Samar Island, I don't remember the date. But that doesn't matter. I didn't write it in the fly leaf of my Bible like Darmy did. I forgot the date. But on my knees, I quoted the words of that chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so full, so free. I meant every word of it. I stood to my feet, thankful for salvation. You know the chorus, Jim. Why don't you lead us?
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so whole and free.
When you've got something good, you've got to share it, don't you? I went back to the PT boat. I sat down and I wrote a letter to Mom and Dad back in Minnesota. And I told them how I had received the Lord and how I have salvation and peace with God. I counted the days for the letter to get back to the States. I counted the days for their letter to get back to me. And that letter never came. Oh, they wrote lots of letters, but they never once mentioned my experience of conversion. And after the war was over, I found out why. I came home. Dad said, "You have gotten caught up in a cult. A cult that says that they know that they're saved and that they're going to go to heaven, whether God wants them in heaven or not. You're going to have to make a choice. You're either going to have to give up that cult and get back to the only true religion that you left, or get out of my house. I won't have a cult in my house." Those were difficult days. They were worse than the war. I said to Dad, Dad, I will go, but I'm going to take my Savior with me. I didn't see Dad and Mom for 6 years. We had friends that were praying for Dad and Mom. 20 years later, both Dad and Mom got saved. They were baptized. They were in fellowship in assembly up in Alexandria. Some of you may know about it. By the way, remember the girl in the park that handed me a tract and asked me if I was saved? Her name is Marge. A number of years later, we got married, and now we're married for 60 years. I want to go back to the PT boats for a few minutes during the war. Again, our PT boat was docked along the shore of Samar Island. And they announced that there was going to be a Bible study class that evening. I decided that I wanted to attend it. This is actually some years later than my conversion. And I came up out of the lower part of the PT boat with my little pocket testament in my hand on my way to the Bible study. And on the bow of the deck, the sailors and the two officers were celebrating. I'm not going to tell you how the Navy celebrates. You don't need to know, but they were celebrating. And the skipper saw me coming out of the porthole with the pocket testament, and he said in a loud voice that I'm sure all of the squadrons there heard, he said, "Hey, guys, hide your beer. Reverend Hack is coming through." And of course they all laughed, except me. I didn't laugh. And they said, "Pray for us so we don't get too drunk tonight." Well, I preached my first gospel message that night. I stood up on the bow of the boat and I said, "Men, unless you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to hell." Well, they laughed. They thought that was a great gospel message, and they said, "Pray for us that we don't get too drunk." Well, I started walking away, and then I decided I didn't have a conclusion to my message. I turned around and gave my conclusion. And the conclusion was, "And Skipper, this goes for you too." Well, I was not too happy with my conclusion, because I knew that I could be in deep trouble. They call it insubordination to a superior officer. I went to the prayer meeting, the Bible study, and I don't remember anymore what it was all about. But I decided that I wanted to stay away from the boat until the curfew was almost over. I went back to the PT boat. I wanted those guys in bed by the time I got back. And the guard on duty halted me, and we went through the normal ritual. And he said, "The skipper left a note for you. He wants to see you in his stateroom at 0800 tomorrow morning." I said, "I know all about it." I didn't sleep that night. I did some calculating, though. I knew how much I was getting. I knew if he knocked me down one rate, I knew how much I would be getting. And if he knocked me down all of the way, I knew it wouldn't be very much. I think it was $20 a month we started out with. I was hoping that 0800 would never come, but it came. And I very timidly knocked on his door, and he was waiting for me. He said, "Sit down." I sat down. He said, "I want to talk to you about what happened last night." I said, "Yes, sir. I know all about it." He said, "When I was 16 years old, I went to a Christian youth camp, and he said, I heard the gospel, and I professed salvation, received the Lord as my Savior, and he said, I joined the Navy, and he said, something happened. He said, you probably wouldn't think that I ever professed to be a Christian." I said, "No, sir." Well, he said, "I want you to know that I'm sorry for the way I treated you last night. I've been looking at your record, and it's been a while since you have gotten a promotion. I'm going to send your name into headquarters, and it will be a matter of a month or so, and you'll have another stripe." I said, "Thank you, sir." You know, in spite of the mistakes that we make, the Lord is faithful, isn't he? The skipper said, "I am thankful that I have a Christian on board my boat that's not ashamed to stand up for the Lord Jesus." I'm going to do something a little bit different. Maybe we could sing in the red hymn book, number 373. "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Let's sing the first two verses and the last two verses of number 373. Jim, would you lead us, please?
"Just as I am without one plea, I shed for me, and
Because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. We remember that experience in the Philippine Islands. Very precious. Darmi remembers the experience just a little while ago. Father, there could be someone in the audience today that does not have a personal conversion relationship to the Lord Jesus. We pray that this would be the moment that they will open their hearts to the Savior. Repent of sin and receive Him by faith as Savior and Lord. We pray in His worthy name. Amen.